This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God. Hey, you know, when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ, I started going to church. And of course, I kept hearing people in church talk about the Holy Ghost. Now, maybe some of you guys are in the same boat that I was in. You've heard about the Holy Ghost. That's the King James Version's translation, or better translation, the Holy Spirit. But really, you're not all that sure who and what the Holy Spirit is, and you're confused about the whole thing. Well, this is what we want to talk about today in part 10 of our series, How Firm a Foundation. We want to talk about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we can talk about what the Holy Spirit does, we first need to make sure we all understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Bible has two very important facts that it gives us in this regard. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be lied to, Acts chapter 5. The Holy Spirit can be resisted, Acts chapter 7. The Holy Spirit can be obeyed, Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit intercedes in prayer for followers of Christ, Romans chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit's feelings can be hurt. He can be grieved, Ephesians chapter 4. Friends, you can't grieve an it. An impersonal force can't pray and intercede in prayer for people. The point is that the Holy Spirit is a he. He is not an it. The second thing the Bible tells us that's very important for us to know about who the Holy Spirit is secondly, that the Holy Spirit is God himself. He's as fully God as is God the Father or God the Son. We know this, number one, because every attribute that the Bible attributes to God, it also credits to the Holy Spirit. The Bible declares that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Psalm 139, that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Isaiah chapter 40, that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. And he knows the deep things of God that only God knows. 1 Corinthians 2. And that he is sovereign. 1 Corinthians 12. But second of all, the Bible also declares that every work that God did, that the Holy Spirit did that work as well. For example, the Bible says the Holy Spirit took part in the creation of the world, Genesis 1, verse 2. That the Holy Spirit took part in the writing of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. And that he was responsible for the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, Luke chapter 1. All of these are things that the Bible attributes to God and God alone, and also attributes to the Holy Spirit. This explains why Jesus said, Matthew 28:19, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." The reason that name is singular here is because there's only one God. But notice this God, Jesus said, exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is why the Council of Constantinople, 381 AD, put forward the theological understanding we have of the person of the Holy Spirit when the bishops there wrote, and I quote, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life-giving one, who is to be glorified equally with the Father and the Son," end of quote. Now, if this is who the Holy Spirit is, well, then that leads us to ask, well, what does the Holy Spirit do? And when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about a subject that is so broad, we can't possibly cover it in one message. In particular today, I'm going to leave out a discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about tongues and healings and miracles and prophecy and private prayer language and all of those things. things. And the reason I'm omitting them is because I've already preached on them. And we've codified that into a 12 CD series called Tongues, Healings, and Miracles, a Biblical Perspective. But let's get back and talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and say that the Bible teaches that in the church age where we are today, that this age is almost exclusively the age of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Almost all the work of God that is going on in the world today is not being done by God the Father or by God the Son. It's being done by God the Holy Spirit. So, what are some of these ministries that the Holy Spirit is carrying out in the world today? Well, I've got a few to share with you. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people, convinces people that they're sinners and facing the judgment of God. You know, you and I can argue with people all day long trying to convince them that they're spiritually lost and they're facing God's judgment, but the Holy Spirit is the only one who can convince people that this is really true in their case. This is why Jesus said, John 16:8, He, that is the Holy Spirit, will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and no one ever comes to faith in Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit doing this convicting work in their heart. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates us into followers of Jesus Christ. Remember talking to Nicodemus. Jesus said to him, "You must be born again by the Holy Spirit." Titus chapter 3 says that God saved us, verse 5, by the regenerating and rebirthing ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you and I repent and we turn to Jesus Christ in faith, it is the Holy Spirit that seals the deal and actually turns us into new creatures in Jesus Christ. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us assurance of our salvation. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hey, as a follower of Christ, you know that feeling that you know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus way down deep inside of you? Well, friends, that confidence comes from the Holy Spirit's direct ministry to our heart every moment of every day. Number four, the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who indwells every follower of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and thus you are not your own?" Number five, the Holy Spirit, fifth, is the one who illuminates our minds and our hearts so that we can understand the written word of God, the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The unbelieving person cannot grasp truth that comes from God, for it is foolishness to him, because it must be spiritually discerned. But we, who are followers of Christ, have received the Spirit which is from God, so that we can understand the truths freely given to us by God." God puts the Holy Spirit in our life, and he begins illuminating spiritually our hearts and our minds so we can understand spiritual truth. Number six, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us spiritual gifts to serve God and the supernatural power to use them effectively, 1 Corinthians 12. Number seven, the Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us in the trials of life, John chapter 14. Number eight, the Holy Spirit is the one who restrains evil, Satan and his forces in our world, so that the work of God can move forward in this world, 2 Thessalonians 2. And I've got one more for you, and this one is really cool. Number nine, the Holy Spirit is God's down payment on us as followers of Jesus Christ. We all know what a down payment is, right? A down payment is a deposit that somebody makes as a promise that they're going to follow through and close the deal, right? Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. After you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is God's down payment, guaranteeing our inheritance. And exactly what is our inheritance? Well, 2 Corinthians 4 says, we know that he who raised Jesus will raise us also so that our mortality will be swallowed up with eternal life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose, and he gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Friends, what the Bible is telling us is that the indwelling Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that as followers of Christ, we are going to get heaven and we are going to get eternal life precisely as God promised us. Now, all I can say is thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's as far as we want to go, however, in the theological treatment of the person and work of the Spirit, because we want to stop now. We want to ask our most important question, and you know what this is, so. One, two, three.
So what?
Yeah, you say, Lon, so what? Say, all right, that's really good, and I appreciate all that theological information, but I mean, what kind of Monday to Saturday difference does this make in my life? Well, I got one more ministry of the Holy Spirit to tell you about, and I promise you, this one is going to be intensely practical. Number 10, the Holy Spirit is the person who lives the Christian life through us. You say, no, that's not right. Christians live the Christian life. No, that's not correct. You say, I don't get it. Well, what I want you to do now is I want you to put your thinking caps on, and I want you to follow me. And let's talk about this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For our sinful nature desires what is contrary to God's Spirit, and God's Spirit desires what is contrary to our sinful nature. These two forces are in conflict with each other so that we often do not do what we wish. The Bible says that when we become followers of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that our sinful nature disappears. The Bible says our sinful nature is still alive and well, and that it's just as unruly as ever. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about this conflict. Here's what he said, Romans chapter 7. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I don't want to do, that's what I do. For, he says, I have the desire to do what is right and obey God, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, he says, rather it's the evil that I do not want to do. That's what I keep doing. Now, for the vast majority of Christians, this is our story. We want to do right, but our sinful nature is just too strong, and so we keep on failing, and then we start feeling guilty. We read a verse like John 10:10, where Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have it abundantly. And we say, well, I don't know who he's talking about, but he's not talking about me, because my Christian life doesn't have the power and the victory over sin that he's talking about. You say, well, thank you, Lon. Now I'm really depressed. Well, now wait a minute. We got a solution for this. You see, the problem here is that most of us were taught to live the Christian life wrong. You see, God gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit to provide the power we need to subdue these sinful passions inside of us so that we can live the abundant Christian life that the Bible talks about. But as I said, so many of us were taught to live the Christian life incorrectly. We were taught to live it by depending on the power of our own human effort instead of by depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Galatians 5:16. The Bible says, if we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify and carry out the desires of our sinful nature. When I first came to Christ, I was told that if I did Bible study, the Word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, do these four things, I was told, and you'll have a vibrant Christian life. Now, please don't get me wrong. Bible study and prayer and witnessing and fellowship, these are all great things, but they are meant to be the overflow of an abundant, Spirit-filled life, not the cause. Friend, the cause of a Spirit-filled life is the Holy Spirit himself. But just listen to so many Christians talk. Listen when they're struggling in their Christian life. What do people say? You hear it all the time. They go, oh, man, my Christian life's really not going good. I need to read the Bible more. I need to pray more. Now, we may not realize it when we're saying that, but what we're really saying is that we are relying on these religious works. They're good things, but we're relying on them to give us the abundant Christian life instead of relying on the Holy Spirit Himself to do it. I had a lady come into my office a few years ago, and she was telling me about her growing up years, and she said, you know, my father used to go into his room and spend 2 hours a day having his quiet time, and then he would come out of his room and immediately blow his stack with my mom and me and all the kids. Okay, so now what did this gentleman need? Did he need 2 more hours of quiet time? Well, no. Listen, the Christian life is a supernatural life. If the Christian life were a natural life, then we could produce it on our own with Bible study, prayer, witnessing, fellowship, and other stuff. But it's not, which means it can only be produced by a supernatural being, which means that the supernatural Holy Spirit inside of us is the one who has to produce it. You and I cannot do it. You say, all right. But you say, Lon, how do you do this? Make it practical. All right. Galatians 2:20. What did the Apostle Paul say? Watch what he says. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith. Say, what does that mean? Well, what's faith? Faith, friends, simply means depending on God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Follow my logic. The Christian life began by faith, right? With us depending on Christ to do something for us we couldn't do for ourselves, by his work on the cross to gain forgiveness of sins and reconciliation to God and eternal life. We couldn't do that for ourselves, right? He had to do it. Now let's go all the way to the other end. At the end of our Christian life, it's also going to be by faith. We don't know where heaven is. We don't know how to get there. We're going to have to depend on the Lord to do something for us at the end of our Christian life we can't do for ourselves, which is get us to heaven. Everybody agree on that? Okay, so if we start the Christian life by faith, and if we end the Christian life by faith, why would God change systems in the middle to a human work system, Bible study, prayer, witness, and fellowship, or anything else? The answer is he doesn't. The answer is it's all by faith. We started by faith, we ended by faith, and we live it in between those 2 points by faith. By depending on Jesus every day to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's what Paul said. Galatians 2:20, I live by faith. I go out of my house every day, Paul says, consciously depending on the Holy Spirit to do for me what I cannot do for myself, moment by moment, to subdue my sinful passions so that I can rise up and obey God every moment of every day. You got it? You understand what I'm talking about? Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I had the privilege of being in New York City for 2 weeks with Jews for Jesus on summer witnessing campaign. And we're wearing big, bright, bold t-shirts that say, Jews for Jesus. It was an interesting experience. I was spit on, literally, threatened, pushed around, shoved, insulted. One day I was right in front of Wall Street at lunch, handing out tracts, and this gentleman came from behind me. I never even saw him coming. And all of a sudden, I saw something coming towards me, and I turned just in time to catch his fist right smack on the left side of my face. He knocked me completely on the ground. I never even saw this punch coming. Now, you know, I realized that I was over my head in New York City. I realized I couldn't go out every day and do this in my own power, and so I didn't even try. I went out every day not trying to have the kind of love I needed to have for all these people, but asking the Holy Spirit to produce that love supernaturally in me every day. And I am here to report to you that the grace of God is sufficient for the streets of New York City. And that's why I went out trying to live the Christian life the way it ought to be lived, by faith, by reliance on the Holy Spirit. I went out and said, Lord Jesus, I can't do this, but you know what? The Holy Spirit can do it in me. And you know, God had a very interesting lesson for me during those 2 weeks. Because when I was headed home, I remember clearly him saying to me, "Now, Lon, you remember how you felt completely over your head on the streets of New York City?" He said, "Well, son, what I want you to understand is you're just at that much over your head back in Washington in your everyday life. May I say to you, you're just as over your head in your everyday life as you would be if you'd have gone out on the streets in New York City? You can't do it either when it comes to everything from patience with your children to your attitude on the Beltway. And so, I got an assignment for you this week. Here's what I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest, if you're a follower of Christ here this week, because some of you don't believe me that this will work. So here's my assignment for you. I'd like you to pick one specific area of your life where you've been struggling to obey God and you've been losing. Whether it's eating or cursing or looking at women lustfully or losing your temper, whatever it is, okay? And then what I want you to do is I want you to start going to every day this week actively and consciously relying on the Holy Spirit's supernatural power to give you victory in this area of life. Walking out of your house every day and saying, "Lord, I'm not going to rely on my own strength to beat this today, but 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 50 times a day if necessary, I'm going to cry out to you and ask for you to give me the power to do what is right. Lord, I'm going to live today dependent on you in this one area of my life." This is how practical this is. And listen, I want to tell you, if you have to do this 100 times a day, do it. We ought to be involved in an everyday running conversation moment by moment with the Lord Jesus anyway. So if you need to break that conversation and say, "Lord Jesus, I need power," break it and do it. And you know what will happen? I promise you, you will see. If this new way of living the Christian life doesn't work a whole lot better for you than the way you've been doing it. If you begin doing this area by area by area until it becomes the habitual way you live your Christian life, I promise you that you're going to do a lot better than you're doing right now. Friends, the Christian life lived correctly works. But to live it correctly, we got to live it by faith. We've got to live it by depending on the Holy Spirit to live the Christian experience through us. We've got to depend on the Spirit to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And when we do, actively rely on the Holy Spirit's power instead of our own, the abundant life Jesus talks about, you'll get it. Now, many of us walk into church every week, and we look around at everybody else, and we go, "Wow, the Christian life's obviously working for them. It's just not working for me. Something must be wrong with me." And what we don't realize is all these other people are walking in looking at you, going, "Wow, the Christian life must be working for her, but it's not working for me. Something must be wrong with me." Let's be honest and admit that for a lot of us, the Christian life's not working. And we're not having the kind of victory and the power and vitality that we think we should be having. Friends, there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with your faith in Christ. Somebody taught you to live the Christian life wrong, based on human works. And if nothing else, at least I hope, we've explained to you today how to live it right. If you live it right, it works. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are very grateful today for you explaining to us the power of the Holy Spirit in so many arenas, but particularly in the arena of giving us the abundant life that Jesus said he died on the cross to give us. And Father, I pray for many people today that this will have been a revolutionary message and that it will give us an entirely different and correct approach to living the Christian experience, one that is based in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the power of human works. Father, change our lives because we were here today and bring to us a Spirit-filled, abundant experience that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us to have and yearns for us to know here on this earth. Change our life because we were here today, Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?